Chapter 19.
Those who obey God and His commands shall be blessed, the way faithful men have always been blessed. But to those who turn from Him, He is wrath. He is fire. He tells us where to burn.
Reverend Mother Woodside's Sermon. Genesis 19, verse 28.
And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace.
Hebrews 12, verse 29.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Luke 3, verse 16.
He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. O Lord, our God.
What the fuck happened?
The planks that used to seal the front doors of the Atchison LGBTQ Plus Center lie in shards across the steps. Flames billow out of the gaping hole left behind and reach through every broken window up to the sky with a low, demonic rumble cut by the high-pitched cracking of embers. Just like the bridges burning on Judgment Day, columns of smoke rising high over Atchison as they all crashed into the water. A gunshot, and another, and a scream, and a shriek, long, high, and furious. I would recognize the cry of a grace anywhere. I put on my mask and sprint toward the flames. The heat hits half a block away. It's a dry heat that sucks the moisture from my eyes and makes me choke. Bright white flame shines in shards of glass on the road, on abandoned cars, doubled in storefront windows, hemming me in like the Lord casting us from Him. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I've kept running through worse. The courtyard fence is demolished, broken to pieces just like the front door. I clamber over splinters and nails, and I scrape my palm on a jagged edge. An angel. There, flinging open the back entrance of the Elk, raising a hand against the smoke that comes out to greet him. And a grace. A grace built like they were gutted doing a backbend bridge, stretched to grotesque proportions, extra arms lashed to limbs, another face peeking from their neck. They see me. The angel sees me too. He lifts his gun. He can't pull the trigger. He wouldn't dare kill me. But can he tell who I am? With the smoke, the fire, and the screaming? Dad's bloody flower face comes crashing back, teeth and tongue gleaming in his broken head, and it's all I can see. It's all I can taste until the angel opens fire on the grace. The grace wails, heartbroken and pitiful, staggering back and hitting the courtyard wall. Two long arms wrap around their head to protect their brain. The flash of gunfire and the orange glow of the blaze lights up the angel's robes like twilight, looking more like one of Lucifer's angels than God's. I plunge into the smoke and throw my body into his. My shoulder hits his ribs. We both fall to the weeds. The gun keeps chattering until it drops, shooting bullets into the sky. The angel roars and rolls on top of me, blood streaming from his temple where he hit a rock, grabbing me like he's going to rip me apart. Then, he doesn't have a head anymore. His spine snaps cleanly as his skull comes off in the grace's mouth. The body collapses onto my chest. The grace toys with the severed head, turning it over and testing each angle with their tongue before finally biting down. Bone gives instantly under their teeth. I stay in the grass, gasping for air under the weight of the angel, watching the grace and the wounds on their body. The angel did recognize me. Why else would he have turned on the Grace? They're God's holy warriors, blessed and perfect, and a soldier only has orders to put them down if they become too dangerous. I make them too dangerous. The angels know I'm at the Elk. The Elk is burning because of me. This is my fault. Oh God, it's my fault. My fingers dig into the angels' rancid robes as the Grace whines and the neck stump spits blood. It's my fault. I have to stop this. I shove the angel's body off mine and reach for the Grace. Part of their jaw was torn off by a bullet, the wound trickling black sludge between their eyes. They have so many limbs, some touching the ground and some not, grasping and reaching with so many hands. I let them touch me. I lean forward so they can grab my hair and pull me close. They smell like rot and Dad's corpse. I whisper, "Help us." The answer I get is soft and perfect. Their eyes flutter closed. A hum shakes deep in their broken open chest. It's all I need to hear. They press their shoulder against me to steady me, nudging their face against my stomach. I leave a red handprint on their neck. We enter the burning building together. Fire lights the narrow halls in otherworldly pink and orange, smoke muffling it all under an ugly gray. Roiling flames lick across the ceiling and devour pride flags and old posters. I raise my hand against the haze, but there's so little oxygen, my lungs scream. It's so hot. The soles of my shoes are going to melt to the floor. There's so much noise, it's all a roar. So loud it hurts, all the fire and my own heartbeat and ragged breathing. There's more gunshots, more angels, and I pray, "Oh God, your shade is what protects me. Our struggle against flesh and blood, against wickedness in heavenly places." The Grace charges ahead, barreling through furniture and barricaded fire doors. We weave through back halls and erupt into the lobby, where flames have engulfed everything, even the bodies on the floor. The angels broke through a defensive line here. Spent bullet casings shimmer. Two angels burn in the doorway, between the bodies of people I know. Don, who helped me do my laundry a few days ago. Lindsay, who laughed when my jacket sleeves fell over my hands. They're dead. For the first time in a while, I have to stop at the sight of a dead body because God, oh God, oh God, your shade is what protects us. Something moves over my shoulder. I turn to find Carly staring at me, at the Grace, tears streaming down her cheeks. She's supporting someone whose left arm is charred beyond recognition. I point to the back door. That way! Carly nods and takes a step back, and the smoke swallows her. A scream from the gym. Shit, the gym. I fling open the doors. It's an inferno. Apartments crackle and collapse, and there goes everything. Our beds, our belongings, the trinkets and pages of books held up like wards against evil. All gone. Through the smoke, I see them. Two angels sweeping the aisles, checking apartments one by one and setting them alight. Glimmering like demons, ash smearing the hems of their robes. Brother Faring. Brother Hurd. Of course I recognize them. I always do. I jam my shoulder into the Grace's side. They spring forward, clattering across the waxed gym floor, and grab Brother Hurd by the torso to fling him into the fire. His robes catch immediately. Brother Faring lifts his rifle, but... crack! He falls. An ashen hand bats aside a sheet door from an apartment just feet away, and Aisha crawls out, smeared with soot and cradling her gun like a baby. "Benji!" she gasps. "Benji, you're okay!" I grab her arms to steady her as the grace digs into the second angel to make sure he's really, really dead, pulling out ropes of dripping insides. Aisha is shaking and wheezing.
I'm okay, I manage. Where is everybody?
I don't know. I don't know. We got split up. She's clinging to me, barely able to pull herself out of the apartment. My head feels like it's going to explode under the heat and the pressure. I tell myself there's more than one way to the back door, and just because I didn't see anybody on the way in doesn't mean all my friends are burning alive. Some people are still upstairs, I think. We need to go.
She looks over my shoulder and freezes.
What the fuck? She whispers. What the fuck? What the fuck?
I look too. The Grace is staring at us, head tilted and wreathed in smoke. Part of their skin bubbles where they're too close to the fire.
Look away, I whisper, and when they do, I shove Aisha toward the door.
She tries to drag me with her, but I peel her fingers off my sleeve and she sobs, turns, and runs. It's too hot in here. The high ceilings aren't doing anything for the smoke anymore, and my chest feels too tight, like my ribs are squeezing in. I'm slick with sweat, but my eyes are so dry they hurt when I blink.
The Grace wanders up, rumbling, and nudges me.
I need to get out of here. Get away from the fire and into fresh air where the smoke won't suffocate me.
But I'm the reason the Alk is burning. I can't just leave.
I promised I would be good.
The Grace comes back to my side, and together we run. Out of the gym, through the lobby, down another hall.
The Grace rounds a corner ahead of me, and I follow to find them bashing an angel against a wall, over and over, until there's nothing left of him but sludge.
We reach the media room. It's white with fire, so bright I have to squint.
Breathing feels like swallowing rot. I shield my eyes, tears of strain gathering in my lashes.
It's hard to see, but I make out the only shapes that matter. An angel behind Nick's shitty armchair, and Cormac behind the couch.
He's stuck. No weapon and no way to the door.
And people never hold positions alone.
I don't care that he tried to turn me against Nick. I whisper to the Grace.
Go.
They screech through the doorway, descending on the angel like something from heaven, dragging the soldier toward their gaping maw. The angel screams and is cut off with a crunch.
I stumble through the flames and grab Cormac by the jacket.
Come on!
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Cormac shrieks. The whites of his eyes burn. Soot smears his face.
That thing!
I whisper, find someone to help. And the Grace tosses their head and disappears into the blazing halls.
Cormac stares at me, and I hiss.
Get your ass up!
And he's with me.
Why didn't it kill us?
He rasps.
I don't know.
I lie and pull him toward the door. There's something awful building in my stomach, a pounding in my head like Seraph is clawing through. But I get Cormac into the hall. The flames are as tall as a person, and it's impossible to breathe without hacking.
Cormac wrenches himself out of his jacket and presses it against my mouth.
I shove it back at him. He needs it more than I do, but he takes one half to block the smoke and shoves the other against me again, and I let him.
We stumble through the back door. Dozens of people are out here. It's chaos. Salvador smashes a window on the other side of the courtyard and boosts someone through, into the safety of a strange building.
Sadaf shouts at Sarmat to hold someone down while she cuts clothing away from a festering burn.
People are alive. This is my fault. But people are alive.
God, they're alive.
I get two steps into the courtyard before the Grace dies. I feel it in the flood, in my skull. My knees give out from under me.
Cormac stumbles, trying to catch me under the arms, but he's too late.
Vomit wells up in my throat. I can't take down my mask to throw up. It'll show my face. I can't.
Benji,
Cormac whimpers. I snatch his jacket.
Shit,
Cormac says.
Nick! Nick!
I hold the jacket like a shield and barely pull down my mask before I vomit. My jaw opens so far it hurts, and the tear across my cheek strains. Something big comes up, and I have to get it out with my tongue, and it falls into the grass, wet and heavy and way too big.
Nick, where are you?
Two sets of hands bring me to my feet, around my waist and under my arms. I cling to the jacket, vision blurring. Acid burns the back of my tongue.
You're fine,
Cormac says while I work my mask back up.
You're okay.
I slam the jacket against Cormac's chest to get it out of my face, and the first thing I see is Nick, to my left, our sides pressed together, holding me tight. Then he lets go. He's in front of me, climbing through the window, holding out his hands for me. Salvador boosts me through and says,
Glad you made it, kid.
Sit, Nick says, a hand hovering over the back of my neck, like he knows I thought, for a second, of running back in.
Now.
I collapse against the wall and slide down. This building, a bank, I think, is full of wide-eyed, fire-red kids checking on their friends or lying on the floor, eyes closed. Some cry, and some are too shocked for tears. Some have marks from bullets, blood soaking their clothes and hands. Lila, a girl with a cane, has found a first aid kit in the back room and is going around with what little supplies she has, picking up the work Sadaf can't manage. Nick says,
Are you okay?
For the first time, I look down at myself. My skin is red from the heat and shimmers with sweat. Ash cakes my clothes. Blisters are starting to form on the backs of my hands. Parts of the soles of my shoes really have melted, and it looks like the hems of my jeans were singed. I toe off one of my sneakers to find the bottoms have stuck to my socks through a hole in the padding. Nothing too bad, considering. I didn't even notice, but I can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I decide on,
I'm fine.
Nick's hair has come out of the bobby pins. Strands fall across his sweat-slicked forehead. He's just as much of a mess as me, singed and overheated and exhausted. He's not moving. God, does he even want to see me right now? Do I want to see him?
Are you sure?
He asks.
Can I get some water?
Nick disappears and comes back with a bottle. I shove it under my mask and drink as much as I can, head tilted to keep it from falling between my teeth. He waits until I finish, standing at my side to block the torn side of my face from view.
Stay here,
he says when I'm done and shoves a piece of paper into my hands.
Wait!
But Nick is already gone, climbing back out through the window.
Cormac,
he says,
get in the bank.
I'm fine.
Comes Cormac's voice from the courtyard.
Benji got me just in time.
You've been inhaling smoke for too long.
Absolutely not.
I'm fine.
Alex sweeps up beside me and leans out the window. They look awful. Bloody hands, a scrape on their chin, mask stained gray. What happened to the radio? I don't remember if I saw it in the lobby. There's so many things to worry about that I just add it to the list.
Get in here!
Alex snarls through the window, or I'm gonna make you regret it.
All right,
Cormac snaps.
All right.
Salvador gets him through the window and he collapses next to me, head held between his knees. We both do nothing else for a little bit. Eventually, Alex takes up the spot beside him, the three of us in a line next to artificial plants, a writing desk, and chairs.
The abomination just killed those angels.
Cormac says.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I sure did.
What the hell?
It helped you. He groans.
I know.
I hold out the bottle. Water?
He yanks down his mask and tips half the water into his mouth. He pours some into his hand and splashes it onto his face. Then he passes it to Alex, who takes a gulp before dumping the rest over their head. I unfold the note in my hand. I'm sorry. The same I'm sorry Nick wrote in his room. The same I'm sorry I left on the floor with my knife. The same I'm sorry he couldn't say, but needed me to know anyway. I press that I'm sorry hard against my upper lip and pretend the smoke tears on my cheek are actual human tears, the kind I haven't been able to cry in years. I'm sorry, too.